Okay, we'll bring the meeting to order, the Crime Prevention Pharmacy and Finance Committee, and start off with the roll call.
Representative Cornish?
Here.
Representative Johnson?
Here.
Representative Considine?
Here.
Representative Dean?
Present.
Representative Flanagan?
Here.
Representative Hertas?
I am here.
Representative Hillstrom?
Here.
Representative Howe?
Here.
Representative Lohmer?
Here.
Representative Lucero? Representative Neuberger? Representative O'Neill? Representative Quam?
Present.
Representative Rosenthal? Representative Schoen?
Here.
Representative Ward?
Here.
Representative Zerwas?
Okay, having a quorum, we will entertain a motion of approval of the minutes for March 16th. Representative Howe, would you want to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Howe moves the minutes for March 16th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, our first bill up today is House File 2870. Representative Lewick. And I will move the bill, House File 2870, to be referred to the General Register. Representative Lewick, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee members. I bring before you today a bill that would streamline a situation in my county and also would have some application to the rest of Minnesota. Aiken County is part of a joint powers Community Corrections Act organization, three counties. Two of those counties have elected to go on their own. They happen to be over 30,000 in population, so there's no issue with that requirement. For Aiken County, we're at 17,000, and what we're trying to do here is simply allow the people that are in place right now, the probation officers and the infrastructure that exists there today, to simply continue on as a CCA county. And the only thing that really stands in the way of that is the 30,000 population limit. So that's the long and short from my perspective, but I do have some folks that would like to testify on this matter, Mr. Chair.
Okay, who would like to go first? State your name and title and begin.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daryl Pettis. I serve as the county administrator for Le Sueur County. Chairman Cornish, members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of House File 2870. Le Sueur County is located between the Seven County metro area and Mankato. In fact, Chairman Cornish represents two of my southernmost townships. Our current population is roughly 28,000 people. Probationary services are currently delivered by the Department of Corrections. We are and have been a DOC contract county for many years. During the past 6 months, the Sueur County Board of Commissioners has started to educate themselves on the three probation delivery services that are available to them. The main reason for this review is how out-of-home placements are paid within the county. County Human Services budgets for and pays for the bills of all out-of-home placements within the county. This includes correctional placements. Human Services Department has little control over how the funds are spent. They just get to pay the bills. In 2011 to 2015, we have averaged just under $50,000 per month, or about $600,000 per year in local property taxes for out-of-home correctional placements. We believe that departments need to be accountable for their funds. The Sueur County believes that we should have the same three choices of probationary delivery services as counties over 30,000 people. We understand that the current statute allows for the creation of a joint powers agreement with our neighboring counties. However, with four of our six counties already being over 30,000 population, they have little or no incentive to work with us. We need them, they do not need us. If House File 2870 is signed into law, the Le Sueur County would fully explore all three probationary delivery options and select the option that best meets our needs. Local governments operate best when they have local control. Therefore, I appreciate your support for House File 2870, and I thank you for allowing me to testify in support of this bill.
Thank you. And ma'am, would you like to, Representative Hertog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering how many of Minnesota counties are under 30,000?
in the population. Does anybody know?
Chairman Cornish, I have no idea.
Well, Mr. Erdman,
Mr. Chair, I believe we probably get an answer to that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ryan Erdman with the Association of Minnesota Counties and MACAC. Of the counties, I don't actually have the exact count with me, but I can tell you of the 54 counties that aren't part of CCA, there are many counties below 30,000, like Aiken, that are already CCA counties. But of the 54 that are not participating, 18 are over 30,000 and 36 are under. So a third of the counties are over, two-thirds are under of the currently non-participating in CCA. But again, that 36, it's actually a bigger number than under 30, but they've already made other arrangements in the joint power scenario.
Mr. Chair, if I could, before Liz testifies, just to go back and understand why this came to my attention. Aiken was part of a three-county organization, a CCA organization, and Coeing and Morrison County, our partners, are over 30,000. So in the past year, they've elected to go on their own, they've streamlined things. So that left Aiken County with a population of 17,000, basically on our own, and our joint powers organization extinguishes the 1st of July of this year. So that's why there's some time sensitive here for this, and particularly the impact it's having. You know, we've got a room full of people that work day in, day out in the probation department there in the Aiken County Courthouse, and we just want to get this clear as to where we can go with this and not hang over the workforce's head. What it is we're trying to do here, and waiting for some technical things to get out of the way, because there's a clear plan in place to deal with this in Aiken County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I might ask, so I believe that Aiken County's concern is legitimate. So my question is, why didn't you just seek an exception just for Aiken County rather than changing the rules for the entire state? We've had a three-tier probation system, and frankly, war about every other year about whether we should have one system or two systems or three systems. And so my question is, you know, why kill an ant with a sledgehammer instead of, you know, just trying to fix your own problem?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative, for the question. Pretty basic. Aiken County isn't the only county in this circumstance. There are other counties out there that are impacted the same way. I did formally contact the Department of Corrections on this issue and basically didn't get a response either for or against, basically a neutral response on this. I'm fairly familiar with this. I served on our Joint Powers Board with Aiken, Coeing, and Morrison County for a number of years as a county commissioner, and the Department of Corrections truly has the final say on any one of those three options that are out there. This would simply provide that option. And I, the business of going in and trying to fix something for a single county when it is an issue that appears to be statewide for smaller counties, just didn't seem like the right thing to do. You know, the world is full of trying to get exceptions for just one little municipality or locale, and this does appear to be a statewide issue for the smaller counties.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could ask Mr. Erdman the same question. So have you heard from another county in particular that is looking for this solution for them, and if so, who?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom, Le Sueur County is one specifically. I have heard also just this week the Cass County Board passed a resolution 5-0. In favor of looking at this. They're a county under 30,000 that has made no moves actually to change, but they indicated to me their interest. And I think when AMC considered this as a statewide organization of commissioners, the request did come from Aiken County, but the commissioners from other counties said, you know, some were specifically interested, and those that weren't specifically interested were sort of in the we don't have an interest in limiting the flexibility of our county counterparts.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what impact will this have on the three-tier probation system that we've had? As you know, we've had many discussions over many years about whether or not we should, you know, eliminate one of them, go to a one system, two system. So what impact will this have on that broader implication of the three-tier system?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hilstrom, the impact now is unknown. It would depend. This allows counties the option, just like the larger counties have now and the smaller counties also have now if they find a joint powers partner. This doesn't obligate anyone to change. I only mentioned two counties, and one of which is the only one who's going to seriously take a look, and they may not switch. So the impact may be none. It may be that we do see a few more, Le Sueur, for example, or others that choose to make a change. But the list is not long of counties that are seriously pursuing this. So, you know, in the near term, minimal impact. In the longer term, will we see more transitioning than might otherwise? Possibly you might see a handful that the joint powers requirement itself was the last barrier. But again, that list at this time is not long. So,
Mr. Chair, one last question.
Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one last question right now. So in the event that everyone that has inquired actually moves, is there a fiscal impact on the state's budget and the way we allocate funds? Or if you have more people in the pool, does it reduce everyone's allocation? Or I just want the folks here to understand how the, you know, once you make these changes, how that impacts everybody else statewide.
Sure. Mr. Chair and Representative Hilstrom, when that happens, the current spending is evaluated in that county and whatever delivery system they're in, DOC or CPO, and then that those dollars transition to the county. They're basically moved within the DOC budget. All of these funding streams exist within the DOC budget. So we come to the legislature to ask for that, and they move the funding. And so it tends to be roughly relative revenue neutral. That varies from county to county. Sherburne County just went last year, and it was revenue neutral. There was no request for any additional funding from the state because the existing funding under their CPO model was sufficient to make this CCA pot whole. That is not always the case. Some other counties, you know, that tends to be at the margins in the five figures, not even six figure numbers, but that absolutely varies from county to county, and we don't know that until a county actually is looking to switch at that time. And that's part of their evaluation as well, is there sufficient resources in terms of their current spending as well as the state's current spending. That's part of their evaluation that leads the county to choose.
So, Mr. Chair, the reason I bring that up is just because I remember folks coming in for a subsidy after they made a change from the state. And so if we're just opening this up to everyone, Mr. Chair, buckle up. You'll have a lot of requests.
Representative O'Neill.
Did you have?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Sam, go ahead.
I'm just calling on you because you're
Representative Considine.
No green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know this is an issue that is near and dear to your heart. My understanding is the nine corrections county that are the nine counties that are in the system now, or the CCA counties,
yes,
that on average they are being paid better and that they have better benefits, but they are all counties that have unions. Whereas a number of the smaller counties do not have a unionized workforce, and we are talking about a significant drop in pay and benefits. And I am troubled by that.
Mr. Erd, why don't you clarify that? If
sure.
You could.
Mr. Chair and Representative Considine, the current system as it is, I think that the nine number you're referring to is there are nine of the CCA jurisdictions whose pay scale exceeds that of the state. Of the other nine, a handful of them actually follow the state pay scale legitimately, and there are a handful that are below. Your county, for example, Blue Earth, I'm not sure if you'd classify that as above or below. I know their pay scale is not the state pay scale. Their bottom step is higher than the state's bottom step, though their top step is below the state's top step. So it's a more compressed But like I said, your starting employees are actually being paid better. By the time you've been there many, many years, then you are being paid less. And so that, like I said, I'm not sure if that qualifies as a higher or lower state pay scale. And they are primarily union across the state. There are a handful that are not. The one of them that's not is Anoka County, and they are one of the ones whose pay scale is higher. But even in greater Minnesota, and Ms. Durock will testify here in a little bit about their situation, Aiken County, as even as a small county, they are represented, I believe, by the Teamsters, their employees that they have there.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Cornish and representatives. I'm Elizabeth Durock. I'm with Central Minnesota Community Corrections. I'm the Aiken County Corrections Director currently. Aiken County has participated in the Community Corrections Act since 1976 under a joint powers structure, and currently we're in a joint powers with Morrison and Crow Wing counties, as Representative Lewick has stated, and both Crow Wing and Morrison have elected to withdraw from our joint powers effective July 1st. However, we're unique in our administrative structure in that we currently have a corrections director placed in each of our counties, and our corrections program is based on the local needs of each community, and so large in part, we're already operating as independent entities from one another. All of our stakeholders in Aiken County are law enforcement, judiciary, county prosecuting attorney's office, and defense counsel has supported our continued operation of community corrections if we are allowed by legislation to continue to do so. The first line of Minnesota Statute 401 notes that for the purpose of more effectively protecting society and to promote efficiency and economy in the delivery of correctional services. Aiken County is already set up and we have an efficient and economical operation. We have already formed an advisory board, which is required by the statute, and they are confident that we will be able to continue and provide our effective services. We have strong policy and practices that are in place and will continue. We also have our information systems are structured independently from our other two counties, and so there would be a continuity there as well. And we have plans in place to continue to build upon our existing local programming. DOC recognizes our ability to run an effective corrections operation in that if legislation is passed and upon approval of our comprehensive plan and budget, they would approve us to continue in our independent operation. The current population requirement of 30,000 will hinder Aiken County's ability to remain in the act alone, on its own. Without this change, we're forced to enter into a joint powers agreement or choose one of the other delivery models. Any of these choices disrupts our continuity of services because of the administrative structural changes for the infrastructure that will need to take place. The existing staff in Aiken County are not protected by statute in leaving the Community Corrections Act. Existing statute only protects employees coming into the Community Corrections Act from one of the other two delivery options. Minnesota Statute 401.04 states that employment shall be given to state and local officers and be deemed a transfer in grade with all the benefits enjoyed by such officer, employer, or agent while in the service of the state or local correctional office. Those protections are not in statute upon withdrawal of the Community Corrections Act, therefore puts my employees and myself in jeopardy if we are forced to choose another delivery method. We've proven to operate our own department through the current structure, and we're hopeful this legislative body will consider the change based on the fact it not only allows Aiken County to remain in the Community Corrections Act, but it provides a fair and equitable opportunity for all Minnesota counties. Currently, the other statute that it operates the other two delivery models, 244.19, does not have a population threshold. And so in creating this change, it's a fair and equitable choice of all three delivery systems given to all counties in Minnesota. This change does not affect the integrity of the corrections model. The Department of Corrections is required to approve every comprehensive plan and budget for each community corrections delivery system, so there is still oversight provided by the state. We're truly an example of how state and county government can work together for effective delivery of services, and that work will continue even with a change in the population requirement. I want to thank all of you, Chair Cornish, representatives today, for allowing me the opportunity to speak on this important topic for Aiken County.
Okay, anybody else? Any question from members? Representative Hillstrom.
Mr. Chair, I actually have a question for the Department of Corrections.
Commissioner Roy, you want to? Tom Roy. Please state your name and title and go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Tom Roy, Commissioner of Corrections.
And Ron Solhay, Deputy Commissioner of Community Services for the Department of Corrections.
Representative Hillstrom, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I actually just want to put on the record, I actually just went in the back and asked him this question, so I want everybody to hear the answer. So I just want to talk about how this procedurally might work. So if the legislature decided that we were going to pass House File 2870 and it was going to become law, and that any, because there'd no longer be a population requirement, that anybody could look to become a community corrections county, do you have the ability to approve or deny them becoming a community corrections county, or do you only have the ability to approve or deny their implementation plan? So could you please let us know what your authority is?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, we have been talking about this, and we believe our authority to approve or disapprove of this is very limited, that if a county qualifies under existing statute or future statute changes, then those counties themselves would be presenting their plan to us for review. But we would only be not necessarily reviewing the political or organizational implications, but the service delivery. And if they qualify, we believe that their choice is their choice.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so any of the entities that are currently under CCA or any of the other service deliveries, I mean, if they're part of a joint powers agreement, if we make this change, would there be any requirement that they remain as a joint powers agreement, or could the next group just decide tomorrow, I no longer want to be a part of a joint powers agreement, everybody's on their own? Could that happen?
Mr. Chair, Representative, just for full revelation here, I actually was part of Arrowhead Regional Corrections when Aiken County was part of Arrowhead Regional Corrections, and later, and as part of that, I did actually supervise probation services in Aiken County. The implication for other community corrections agencies, some are standalone counties because they meet the population requirement. Others are joint powers agreements between multiple counties, and some agencies, as a part of that multiple county, have large counties that could stand alone. Some have smaller counties that would not meet the threshold. So it really, I think at this point in time, to predict the future as to what those multi-county agencies would do may vary between those agencies. Sometimes those marriages are made in heaven. Sometimes those marriages fall apart. And sometimes the political climate changes. Sometimes the service requirements change between counties. Sometimes the elected officials change in those counties. And the temperament of maintaining those organizations may not continue consistently. So I'm having a difficult time answering your question with great certainty.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, you're doing a really good job answering those questions, because that's actually one of the points that I want to make. So if you completely eliminate the aggregate population requirement, any one of these joint powers agreements could stop existing, because it doesn't matter what your county population is, you could, each of the counties could say, look, it's just not working for us anymore. You small county, we don't want to do services with you anymore. Is that correct? And they could say, you can do it on your own. You're on your own.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe that exists with this change, and I also believe it exists without the change. Currently, those counties could make that decision. Two of the smaller counties could join to meet the population requirement of a five-county agency, for instance. And because I am probably one of the only ones in the room that was around during the formation of the Community Corrections Act counties 35 plus years ago. The notion was that there would be an efficiency in government to join forces. The smaller counties could take advantage of the resources in the larger counties nearby, use the institutions. Perfect example is actually in Arrowhead Regional Corrections. St. Louis County had the juvenile center, St. Louis County had the St. Louis County work farm, and when those six counties back then joined together, the notion was the smaller counties could participate and efficiently use the bigger counties' facilities, and the state would invest in probation parole resources to beef up everybody to support community corrections. Mr. Solheid might have some input on that particular issue as well.
Chair, there are currently 33 Community Corrections Act counties, and of that there are 18 jurisdictions, so there are 11 individual counties and 7 multi-county jurisdictions that exist currently under CCA. And there are, in those joint powers agreements, in many instances there are sharing, as the commissioner mentioned, of programs and services across county lines, and it does provide for some efficiency in how those programs and services are delivered. There are some that actually share facilities, whether they're adult or juvenile, in addition to the one that the commissioner mentioned in Arrowhead Regional Corrections.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure who would answer this question. I'm not super familiar with Section 401.02, and my question is regarding the grants. Are the grants determined based on the population that is under supervision, or are those grants fixed? And then a follow-up question would be, should these multi-jurisdictional areas all go into separate counties, how is that going to actually affect the current resources that are allocated for the grants?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dean, currently the CCA formula, which dictates how those grants are distributed, does have 5 factors within that formula, and each of those factors do rely on the percent of statewide population that resides within that county, meeting various criteria such as the population that is age 10 to 24 residing in the county, the percent of the statewide total of felony case filings within the county, the percent of statewide total number of juvenile case filings within the county, the percent of statewide total number of gross misdemeanor case filings within the county, and the percent of the total statewide number of convicted felony offenders in the county who did not receive a prison sentence. So they are linked with regard to the subsidy that a county receives, and so they are essentially population driven to a great extent. The issue of counties pulling out and going on their own, essentially they would still receive the same subsidy based upon those factors and the county's population, what their percent is of the statewide total. So that would not increase the subsidy, nor would it decrease their subsidy, because it is on a county by county basis, even if they're in a joint powers agreement. So as example, if 3 counties are joined together and they decide not to remain in a joint powers agreement, their subsidy would be split up according to those factors, and that's what they would receive.
Representative Dean.
Just a quick follow-up question. So if I'm a smaller county, and I'm assuming that, does the grant cover 100% of the expenses for the counties? And could this create an overburden for those counties that are small that are going to be jettisoned from these joint powers agreements?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the under the Act, there is no prohibition for counties to add to that subsidy or live with the subsidy and model their services based on that subsidy. And Mr. Erdman has a document that reflects the percentage that individual counties use that subsidy as a part of their total correctional package. Some smaller jurisdictions rely heavily on it. Some larger jurisdictions have taken the opportunity to add new programs, new initiatives, more probation officers to meet their local needs. So that percentage varies greatly.
Hey, any other questions?
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, to the bill. Any questions? Representative.
Is there any other public testimony? I'll ask all my questions at the end.
Oh, that's. I'm sorry. Good point. Go ahead, sir, and state your name and title. And
thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Richard Kajewski. I'm the Public Affairs and Communications Director for the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. We represent 13,000 of the state professional employees, including all of the agents and intensive agents for the state of Minnesota. I want to at least speak to Representative Considine's question. When it comes to compensation and benefits, the statute is very clear, and what your previous testifiers read quickly over was it says to the extent possible that people should be compensated at an equal rate of pay to what they are in the state workforce. These are people, these are your constituents who live and work in your districts who are highly trained and professional individuals who've worked in this field for a long time. Most of our members have. And if these small counties don't have the means possible, there's nothing requiring them in statute to compensate them equitably to what they're getting now with the state of Minnesota. And so I'm here with great concern about this. I think this is a slippery slope as to what we're as to where we're heading. And I'll tell you, our people who have been in a position to either go to a CCA county or bump back into a state job, almost always, if they have the option, stay with the state of Minnesota. And it's not because everything is equal and they could go to CCA. It's not equal. Their seniority is not equal. Their severance pay is not equal. I can tell you, Sherburne County is a great example. That was the last one. Sherburne County went to PTO time. So we have long-term employees there who've accumulated a great deal of sick leave. And in the state of Minnesota, sick leave determines your severance package. And so those are hardships for people when they make those decisions. It's not about just transferring and being done and everything being treated equal. So, members, I urge you to not support this bill. I think it needs some work in the language. I think Mr. Erdman told you pretty clearly here today there are counties who pay more than the state pay scale, and there are counties who pay below the state pay scale. But we're talking about small counties here in this bill who are not going to have the means to compensate people at the levels that they're being compensated and benefited today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else to testify from the crowd? Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the author, would you consider making this specific to meet the needs so that there is no change? So currently the CCA county of Aiken gets to stay a CCA county, and that anyone else who wants to change, we can address as part of what we should do about the three-tiered system and who should be in and who should be out. Would you consider that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilton, at this point, no. I think we can work on something completely separate. I am ready, and I've made this offer both to Commissioner Roy and other folks. I'm ready to go to work on a completely separate bill that would go through and look at this whole thing as to how we're dealing with the three systems. But I think at this point we're simply going to put a Band-Aid on it if we go that route, and we'll be talking about this for many years. So I'm just absolutely sincere about willing to work with you and the rest of the folks there to work on this on a collaborative basis to look at the whole thing, because once we open that up, it's very complicated, and this is fairly minor change. I do want to just point out the very same issue about the sharing business, that population limit at this point really, really puts a hurt on the smaller counties that have no option, basically, that the other counties do. Because if you remember what I mentioned about Aiken County, the two other counties had all three options to them. They had those choices, so they made them, and left a county that had no choice choices at all from that perspective to continue what they're doing. See, what I'm really trying to preserve here, and it's like this in other places too, is we don't need to go and do just exactly what the gentleman that was here last talked about and have to redo everybody's pay record, have to change their place they're getting paid, the whole business. We can preserve the morale and the workforce in Aiken County and get that off their back right now, and so everybody knows at the correctional custody level, that Joint Powers Board signed a labor agreement sometimes a year, sometimes 2 years, repeatedly. We negotiate for those wages. We do our darn best to do everything we can do to properly compensate them. The standard is obviously the state scale. The idea that this turns into a rodeo is certainly a misperception. We deal, contract after contract in county government with typically 5 to 6 different labor groups, and you've got to treat those people fairly, that's not an issue. I think that this simply solves a timeline thing, and it takes these little counties out of a real problem here, because the big counties can do what they want. The little counties are left hanging, and so this is a little guy thing for me. And make no mistake, the counties that go down this road, they have to meet the Department of Corrections plan. They have to cross all those T's and dot all those I's. So it's not a done deal that anybody can just jump out and do this. If you can't come up with something that satisfies Department of Corrections, they certainly have the ability to force a county to either change what they would like to do if they're going to withdraw, or make some adjustments. So I would prefer to go forward with this as is. But again, I am deadly serious about willingness to jump in and take on this whole thing on a much broader aspect, because we're talking probably a next session, pretty lengthy, detailed work.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillsborough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But you are actually changing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
By crossing out this one sentence where there has been a population mm-hmm. requirement, mm-hmm. you are changing the whole structure. Mm-hmm. So don't think that you're not mm-hmm. changing the entire mm-hmm. structure, because you are. Mm-hmm. So you can say you don't want to upend anything, mm-hmm. but you are putting the potential in the statute to upend it. And what I'm saying to you is, I don't have a problem fixing your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is, I understand I have this problem, and you could probably get everybody to agree that your problem should be fixed. But what you're saying is, I'm going to cross it out for the whole mm-hmm. system because I have a problem, and I don't really know what the implication statewide is going to be. But I promise if we break it between now and next session, I'll work with you to make mm-hmm. sure we fix it next session. I'm saying maybe we shouldn't break it before we know what the implications are. So I'd be with you mm-hmm. if you were addressing your issue, but you're addressing the whole state without even knowing what the implication is going to be, and I got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Considine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lewick, the little guy in this is the employees that are raising families, parts of their mm-hmm. community, and I think I agree with Representative Hillstrom. There may be a way to work this out, mm-hmm. but I would certainly like to have it worked out prior to us moving forward. While you're here, I'm sure in good faith, I'm just not that convinced that everybody is working in good faith. So, yeah, I think that those things need to be worked out before we move forward, or do as President, Representative Hillstrom says, which is make an individual basis and then work on the rest of the problem.
Just a second. To the page, I'd rather you didn't drag anybody out right now. If you want to just, as far as the pillar up here, that'd be great. I want everybody to stay in their seats so we can get through this. Go ahead.
Again, Mr. Chair, if it's possible, I would like to move this bill. That's certainly your prerogative, but I would you know, like to move forward on this. And again, ready to go to work on a long-term thing. But at this point, I've got a county that is going to have no choices here long before the session ends, because there's some deadlines they have to meet if we don't get this done.
Okay, Representative Schoen.
Just a quick comment, Representative Lewick. You've got a Democrat over here saying that I could probably support you if you just took care of your own county and left everybody else alone. Sometimes that's advice you might want to heed.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, Representative Lewick, would you like to, I'll renew your motion, I guess I have to. Renew the motion on House File 2870 to be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
I don't know.
All right. With that, we're done. Meeting adjourned.